The word of the Lord from 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 31. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preached to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But in those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God has made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our gospel proclamation comes from the first epistle to the church in Corinth and serves as the basis of our theme for the third Sunday in Lent. Just a word about the cross. Well, actually, let me be more specific if I may. Just a word that God was crucified and rose from the dead. No, that's not quite right. I mean, just a word that God became flesh to die and rise again. Yeah, that's it. And all the wisdom of that age could never conceive of such a proclamation or admit this historical reality. And yet, here it is. Now, this word is either foolishness or the power of God. For Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there is no acceptable middle ground. Paul asks today, where is the wise debating scribe? Now, we must tread carefully here in God's word, lest we miss the point. Paul is not just making a jab at the intellectual elitist and suggesting willful ignorance is holiness. Chapter 2 helps us understand the clarity with which Paul speaks today, saying, among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age. We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. And it isn't that Paul doesn't like wise writing and speaking. Plus, it's hidden by God, more like the wise ignore it or refuse to believe it, as though they can hide it from themselves. Ultimately, it is that he is concerned with the content of the writing, reading, and speaking. Now, the Jews and Greeks of Paul's day were literally devising their own system of hope for the deliverance of Yahweh. And that continues today with many who consider themselves Christian. Some use God's word to make money, morally stifle communities, or wield political and communal power. But they neglect the forgiveness of sins. They miss devotion to God's word to be closer to Christ, and they even make up hideous, mishmash words of church and business terminology, like sacramental entrepreneurship, programmable piety, and spiritual perspicuity. Okay, I did just make up the last two, but the first was actually used by a former pastor to sell his pastoral coaching model. And unfortunately for him, his term is no more real than my made-up terms. They all sound amazing and do nothing for our spiritual well-being. You know, so-called brilliant speakers, coaches, and whole life managers try to tell us how to live our lives perfectly, because if you do, God will find you compelling and ultimately worthy of your salvation. Fortunately for us sinners, that's not what God says. Rather, God says you are not wise according to the flesh. And that's true. After all, which of us have not paid our spiritual stupid tax? Who plans perfectly for God and executes that plan every time? My goodness, who has ever written the perfect plan for God? We all sin, even willfully breaking faith with God when he's done nothing but break his back for us. He also says you're not powerful. And even if we become captains of industry, political princes and princesses, or even self-made women and men, there's always sinful thoughts and temptation lurking. Nobody has the power to overcome that in and of themselves. The undeniable encroachment of the end of our lives must be faced by all. Death is indeed a demanding and relentless master caused by our sin. Finally, God also says, you do not have good genes. Now, I know that may be hard to believe for those of noble birth and relatively good health. How many of us are even surprised anymore when yet another friend comes down with cancer? And many times completely out of nowhere. How many of us are no longer shocked by the latest heart health victim of COVID? How many of us know there is a health concern just waiting for the aging process to weaken us enough to succumb to it? Just this last week, a beloved coach and mentor to kids in the public school system was found unconscious, and as of the writing of this sermon, was clinging to life. Sometimes we just whisper in our hearts, it must have just been in their genes. And science keeps tackling gene therapy because the genes we got just need to be manipulated so we can all be better and stave off death forever. Ridiculous. Today, God reminds us that he always knew all of this. And as much as we hope we'll be the lucky ones, we're resigned to the fact that flaws can manifest themselves at the most inopportune times. Clearly, no one can justify themselves when the judgment of God comes. Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, we don't have to. For you find yourself this day not in your sin, rather in Christ. He is the Word become flesh, which is all about the cross. He came to earth just dying to live in you. He gives you the wisdom of God from history that gives us hope for the future. Every flood that we floated above, every freeing from ancient fascists, every endurance under evil despots, we've seen it all and we know this too shall pass. Because God in Christ is quietly and continually whispering in our ears, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And we do believe, because his death has raised our hearts to eternal hope in him. His righteousness and holiness makes us righteous and holy again. And it doesn't matter what we lacked. It matters only what Christ has made us again. The devil thought he had his day. After all, he watched Jesus die on the cross. But Christ didn't die to submit to the devil. He died to ransom our liberty for his divinity. And when Jesus walked out of that tomb alive, He showed us his victory was our victory too. Satan has no claim on us. We belong to Christ. We have God, and we live in that hope, and we know the ultimate word, which has always been about that cross. Now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen.